gentlemen, welcome back to this amazing podcast, Bias Football Takes. I'm rolling alone today. My other partner is on break. He's enjoying wherever he is. Hopefully, he'll bring us some Christmas chicken. Well, I'm not here alone. At least, I'm here with someone who is at the top of the table, enjoying some nice ref officiating decisions, enjoying it, and there's no crying. And I also have another one that is was first on the table before December 25th. Now he's almost getting kicked out of top four. They lost to West Ham and lost to Fulham. As my great evangelist Charlie Poppy said, Naham, West Ham, Fulham. So we have Samuel and Femi on the show today. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good. Good. Man. Doing good. Good. Staying blessed.
Thanks for having me.
Olu, I'll be don't eat hamburger anymore.
No.
Because, okay.
Because
you guys got stuffed. That's enough. That's enough ham. That's enough ham to go for the next 3 years. So what's up now? What's happening now? Samuel. So we also have, I mean, the same man at the top of the table is now a family man. I mean, not family man in the sense of having the child, but the beginning of having a child.
Thank God. But I've been good. I've been great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's glad to be here. Glad to be back. 2024. We move.
So, what did you guys do for your break now?
Well, I was in Nigeria, as I stated in the previous podcast episode. It was amazing. It was great. Nigeria is always a great time. Went out, hung out with family, and made friends. It was an amazing time. Linked up with high school friends. It was great.
Okay. For me, I was in chilling in Mexico for a few.
Oh yeah, that's true. I saw some pictures in Mexico. How did that go now? How was Mexico? Can you hear us?
I guess he speaks Spanish now.
Oh, okay, so can you hear me?
You can hear you. Are you speaking Spanish?
Oh, I literally was speaking the whole time. I didn't even know. I said it was good. I said I was there for like 5 days. I came back to Austin. Then was in Austin for about a week. Then I came to Atlanta. I'm here for like a week plus. Well, Mexico was good. I was there for like 5 days. Did a lot of like excursion and chilling and, you know, everything.
What part of Mexico did you go to?
Cancun.
Cancun, oh, okay.
But also went to other places as well.
I enjoy passing.
I enjoy passing. Just chilling. For me, I was just in the house, nothing. I almost had a boring break, but thank God. I mean, Tottenham and Aston, they gave me Christmas gifts and a New Year gift. Team? So
yeah, not talking about my team.
Wait now, we're twins. We're supposed to twins.
Yeah,
we're twinning. We're twinning.
You're happy about that thing.
Yes, you're about to say if you have to celebrate when people are celebrating, you have to moment and money. You have to celebrate when people are money, regardless of the situation. I'm always happy. I'm always happy with my club. You know, what is happening? So today we'll take it easy. It's the next season. So part of the things we intend to discuss is some of the games, because from the last episode to today, there were so many games. The table has shuffled many times. Some teams won one game and won another game. Another team lost other games, you know. So it's been an interesting break. And I feel like this is like a reminiscence of what happened in like like maybe like 7 seasons ago, where I mean, I'm not picking on Arsenal. I'm not picking on Arsenal. It's just I'm just trying to talk about how I feel about the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal would be doing well, and during that November, December, January period, either they get injured and their season just ends. And I feel like it's happening again. And this is the first time before this break, I think I told someone, I can't remember, was it Obina or one of our friends? I felt like this is the first time I was, thinking that Arsenal might be the true contenders for the title. Not because they've been serious with their football, but they are the ones that have done, they have made the least number of mistakes. They are playing the same way they've been playing. They've been winning the game that they're supposed to win. Liverpool have been like on the brink of losing, but they keep winning, which is like, you know, championship stuff. City are just losing games that they're not supposed to lose. So for the first time, I felt like Arsenal might go all the way. And then all of a sudden, it just feel like everything is just scattered. Like, I don't know what's going on. Arsenal decided to lose 2 games. I did not believe Arsenal was going to lose against Fulham. West Ham, yeah, I felt like West Ham was going to give them issues, but not Fulham. So that's how I just felt. But anyways, the table has shuffled really bad. I don't know how Liverpool has gone on toast, but I know you guys are. I know Liverpool fans are really, really happy about that. So what games, apart from the Liverpool and Arsenal games, and maybe United games, what games during this period do you guys feel caught your eyes?
Burnley game.
Which one?
Aston Villa Burnley.
Aston Villa Burnley, okay.
Sheffield Aston Villa as well was a good one. The 1-1 draw. I mean, the obvious choices are like the Liverpool game, the Man U game, the Arsenal game. Man City, they won the Club World Cup as well.
Yeah.
So, there were a bunch of games.
You know, it's crazy how Man City were not even like close to the top when they went for the World Cup tournament. And they are back, and you guys are literally dragged them into the conversation.
So, why did they not play too many games? What do you mean?
So they were like, I think they were like fourth when they left, if I remember vividly.
But it was still like.
So they were not third. They were not third.
It wasn't more than like 5-6 points.
Yes, but you know.
With a game in hand.
Yeah, so that game in hand, you have to win it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand, like, yes, they were not that far off, but you have to win that game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that 3 points. You can't just assume that, they win the game. And before they came back, the table has made them move close up. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, and right now they're 5 points away. Same points as Arsenal.
But they're third.
One game in hand.
One game in hand.
Which so can like, change to 2 points.
You can change the 2 points. You can change. You can lose it. But right now, they're in a very good position to keep fighting for the title, for the top.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually in a great position. They have all their injured players are back.
They're coming back, yeah.
KDB is back. Doku is back. Haaland is back. And KDB is obviously the spine of that team. So having him back is going to be crazy.
Yeah,
this season is just starting, to be honest.
It's just starting, yes. It's just starting. This is where the strong men will show up. So which other games do you guys? I feel like Nottingham Forest and Newcastle was one of those games.
That's the game that was actually a real good game.
Yeah, that was one of those games.
That was actually that actually caught my attention. But I was surprised, but it was more like I'm not expecting much from Newcastle.
Mm.
Right? I feel like we had this conversation before. Like I'm not really expecting much from Newcastle. And but Nottingham Forest beating them like that was still quite
it was too much. Yeah, it was
surprising. And the way they played, they had a proper game plan and they executed it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Alanga was on top form. Then Wood, bro. That guy's actually a pro- like he balled that game.
He balled that game, yeah. That one. His goals were mad.
His finishing, like his IQ of like how to beat those defenders last minute was on point. Like I was just like, if this guy was like 26, I'm on a prime striker like that, man.
Please.
You know now, like, you know, hype would have been around him.
But I know, like, but yeah. I mean, it was more of the on the experience side, though. He was really experienced.
That's why he was able to take those goals. Like, he showed his experience.
Right? I was really surprised the way he took the goals. I was like, huh?
Yeah, what? Like, there's something that he laid one of the defenders on the floor.
On the floor, yeah. He rolled the ball and rolled it in the far corner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, another game that caught my attention was Chelsea-Luton.
Oh, yes, yes.
Man, I feel so bad for Luton, man. Those guys, last 20 minutes... They were playing some amazing football, man.
No, amazing throughout football. The game. They played Chelsea throughout the game.
Yeah, like, but the last 20 minutes, amazing yes. football, man. Yes. That Adebayo, the guy, what's his name? Is it Doughty? I believe that's his name. That guy does know how to rip the ball in, man. He's actually a great cross of the ball. Ogbeni came in. He did his thing. Like, bro, that team was actually on fire. I thought so bad they didn't tie the game, if not win it.
Yeah.
Like, they played. I was just like, God damn. Who is this? Like, if they get relegated, I'll feel so bad for them.
I mean, you might not know that they played you guys, too, remember?
No, I think they played a lot better against Chelsea.
You know, they did. They did way better, better. But it was... But the same mindset of, let us play football.
So, like, against Liverpool, they played well. But in regards to Chelsea, the difference was, like, they were also, like, controlling the game. Like, they were detecting the game. Like, it wasn't just, we'll take our chances when we have them. It was, like, they constantly were creating chances, constantly, like, detecting the flow of the game. So, it was, they played real well, just to summarize. But, yeah, it was a good game.
Brighton-Tottenham.
Yeah, we
saw the game together.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
That was, like, Brighton played Tottenham, like, the way they played United. They were just passing around them. They were just turning around. Like, and the thing is, the excuse is that they have injuries. Tottenham has injuries. Brighton has injuries. But that game, it was more like Tottenham having more injuries than Brighton. Like, you couldn't tell. That's how the game went.
So with Brighton, and this is what makes them a good football club, is like they're also building from within. It's like they have youngsters that they're actually grooming, right? To first team players. It's not as opposed to like all these top six teams where like they're always buying players. And I think that was what the difference was between Brighton and Tottenham. Tottenham don't have any youth academy players that they're grooming that could just slot into the first team and at least take their chances.
Mm.
But with Brighton, they do have that going on. And that's what showed against Tottenham.
Because
if it was first 11 versus first 11 for both sides, obviously I expect Tottenham to
win. Yeah, to win, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just showed like their academy progress and stuff. That's what I feel.
Unfortunately, they will not win anything. So, but I keep doing that. So, yeah, let's talk about the big games. For Arsenal, you know what? Let's end with Arsenal because I know Olu will have a lot to talk about. So, Liverpool, you guys have been getting away with a lot of things and also been on the other side of the cause. So, I'll say 50-50, like it's kind of balanced. So, how are you feeling, you know, at the top of the table, entering the new year?
Before I tell you how I feel, what are the calls you're talking about?
The Odegaard handball, that should have been a penalty. Then, the penalty on Jota, honestly, do not know how VAR saw that. I did not tell the ref to go and check the screen. So, but it's fine. If it was my club, I'll be happy to get the penalty. Because I'm 100% sure that call, if it was for United, it was the United player that had that call, they would not have given us penalty. Because we've had worse calls this season, not for penalties. So, but you know, it's what it is. I'm not an Arsenal fan. I will cry over a spilled milk.
Is that the only call you're saying?
I mean,
that was going for Liverpool.
That I can remember. There are a lot of calls but that's one of the calls that I can remember.
Well, because I can categorically tell you that more calls have gone against us than for us. Then, in regards to that call against Jota, I agree it was soft, especially on Jota's end, because like he could have just finished it. But there was actually contact. Now, if you look at the replays, slow motion, whatever, there was contact. Was that contact enough for Jota to fall? I don't think so. I feel like he could have continued and finished it off. But in motion, how he felt, I don't understand, but he fell.
Mm.
Contact was shot there.
So my point is, no, I'm not saying there's no contact. My point is, so I watched the game live, and immediately I saw that, I was like, there's no way if it was United, they would have given a penalty. Because the many times Rashford this season was fouled in the box 18, worse, like, play on. So I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm not saying it's a penalty. But I'm only saying that if it was my club that got that penalty, I would not complain. That's my point. Because I saw the game live. I was like, there's no way if it was United, ref would have gone to the screen and I said, no penalty.
So are we saying vice against you guys?
No. How would I say that? I'm not saying that. I'm not an Arsenal fan that will cry again over spilled milk. Because many calls that we should have gotten, the other teams got this season.
Their calls are literally for United too, though.
Literally the next game. But we did not make any petition that, oh, the FA
Which
or
game?
The ref.
Which game are you referring to?
There are many calls I can't remember. Example, that Romero one. Romero.
So what about the Onana one on the first game of the season?
That one? So I don't know why you keep mentioning that. I feel like for that, they want to use that one to punish United for every call. Because that's the only call that I can say is questionable so far for this season. That I can remember. If you know anyone, you can remind me. But that call is all I can
say. To be honest, like, at the end of the day, VAR, like, it balances out at the end of the day.
You as like, a fan, you are saying that right now. But you guys have cried the most after Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Fans.
I mean, there are a lot of calls that you see, right, that they give other... Like, take, for example, in Aston Villa... What's his name? What's that midfielder's name? The defensive guy. Douglas Luiz tackled Jesus, right? They didn't call it. But in another game, we saw that call was called, you know? So, and there are several scenarios like that. But at the end of the day, I believe that, like, VAR, everything balances out, man.
Okay, so you guys know that. As our fans know that. But how come you guys have cried the most?
I think everybody cries when it doesn't favor them.
Okay.
Like, Man U fans cry against Arsenal, you know, that, what's his name? Your striker got pulled down. The offside wasn't offside, you know. Every fan cries when it doesn't go your way. When it goes your way, you keep quiet, you know. And at the end of the day, it balances out.
Okay.
Well, back to what I was asking you, Mr. Liverpool.
Yeah, so... I hear you guys. But anyways, how do I feel? I feel like it is what it is at the moment. We accept us being at the top of the table. Do we deserve it? I don't necessarily think so.
Why don't you think so?
Yeah, I was going to explain. I don't think we've played great enough football. I feel like we have been fortunate in some aspects in regards to like our play. Like the normal... So. Obviously, it's a transitional phase. The normal Liverpool at the peak of it, like, you just know that, okay, yes, this is Liverpool. This is Liverpool being Liverpool. But games here and there, you always question, like, how is Liverpool doing this? Like, for example, Crystal Palace. We're not meant to win that game. We pulled it off. What was that game again? Against Wolves. We're not meant to win the game. We pulled it off. Our first halves are always so shitty, very terrible. But fortunately, or fortunately for the other team, we kind of figure it out in second half and things kind of go our way, right? Against Newcastle, we got fortunate. We won 2-1. Like, there have been games where we're fortunate. You get.
Mm.
And the games where we're playing very well, we end up actually the games were, we play very well. We end up actually most of the time tying those games or drawing those games. Also, like our midfielders, it seems like form has switched. So, for example, Szoboszlai's form has dipped, right? A lot. It's very apparent. While Hendo, his form has actually picked up. In the last three or four games, he's been playing as a prime DM. Like, he's been playing real well. But at the end of the day, like, for us to win the league or stay at the top of the table, we would need to have all those players being on top form. As I mentioned earlier, City getting their team, their key assets back, it's something to worry about. Like, City is a lot better team than Liverpool at this moment. So, we need to stay on top of our game. We need to be able to play without Salah. Nunez needs to start finishing his chances. Because if that guy doesn't pick form in scoring and finishing his chances, just like last season that I said he was up to, key to our season, he would be the reason to our downfall. Because a striker like him having so many big chances and wasting them would be the downfall of any team. So he needs to capitalize on his chances overall. Defense has been good, but there's only so much defense can do if the forward players are not scoring. So I think overall, we would push it to the limit. We'll try our best. I'm hoping to see what we do in recruitment phase of January transfer. Right now, it seems like we're just recalling players. I don't know if we're going to buy, but we'll see. I think it would be a three-headed race. I think Arsenal will get the act together, and it would be Arsenal, Liverpool, City trying to fight for it.
So, you know, remember when I agreed on season and last season when I said your striker is a farmer, you almost fought me. And you said this season is going to surprise us. I guess we're both being surprised.
Well, I would say we're not, because
I would be surprised.
As I said to you too, Anthony is a plumber.
Forget. So didn't
play with no. Don't tell me to forget.
Let us stay on topic.
No. The topic is Anthony is a pipe.
But I mean, talk about United now. Or
Anthony
Liverpool.
Is a pipe. Let's forget about.
Okay,
we never talk about
no
United.
Problem. Anthony is a pipe. Is
like
is your striker a farmer?
Not a farmer.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
At the end of the day, we've had this conversation. He's still better than all your strikers.
No problem. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not.
It's not your fault. Last season, was it better than all our strikers last season?
Yeah?
What's better than all our strikers last season?
Who did you have?
Rashford.
Okay. Yeah, Rashford is better than him. But this season, Rashford is nowhere to be found.
Okay. Anyways, so Mr. Arsenal, what's happening now? You guys were top before December 2025. And you guys are literally hanging on to top four right now. How is that possible?
So
it's not as if we played 100 games between then and now. Like, that's it's been a while I've seen that happen. And last time it happened was Arsenal. Now it's happening again with Arsenal. What's going on?
So I feel that, like, when it comes to Arsenal, right, people always overreact. Right, I'll just be honest, because take for example, Man City, they went through a 5-game spell of like drawing and not being consistent. Obviously, they have that history of like winning at the end of the day, but there wasn't that outreach. You know, every team, same thing as Tottenham, same thing as Chelsea, same thing as Man U, same thing. I don't know if Liverpool has gone through like spells. You know, every team this season has gone through like a spell of not winning games or not being consistent. But once it comes to Arsenal, it's like the world is crumbling.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Okay. Can I give a response to that real quick before you move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know that is very untrue?
It's very true.
Do you know why I'm saying that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
When Tottenham had injuries this season, everybody were like, that done. They're coming down. Everybody said it.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea people are on Chelsea's back every day. Like they're like, Chelsea, you spend so much money.
Not really.
But whoever have been saying Chelsea, you've spent so much money, you shouldn't be playing this way. You're playing better. Everybody has been saying that. Like everybody has written Chelsea off. Like there's nobody even look at Chelsea. Okay, Chelsea going to be tough for United. Mm-hmm. You know, United is from the day one they were kind of on our neck. The only team that people have not really been on is City, and that's because City has been through it before. They've done similar things and they've won the league. They've been able to pull themselves out of that rut.
And what about Newcastle?
Same thing.
Brighton.
Right now, people. So Newcastle and Brighton is because you guys respect them too much. Nobody in their right mind would classify Newcastle and Brighton in the same league as the traditional top four. So it's just people just trying to push the envelope, adding them. Nobody's looking at them. But wait, for Arsenal, the reason why people are talking about Arsenal, not like people are talking about Arsenal over the top. First things first, you guys always, when you guys are playing well, you guys don't let us hear what. Hear what.
I feel like that's every fan, though. Like, because I look online and I see every fan bragging about their team.
Relax. Arsenal is always over the top with that when they are top in the league. Liverpool is at the top now. They're not boisterous. They're taking it, okay, one game at a time. We know what we're seeing. We're never playing well, but we are trying. That's what Liverpool fans will say. But Arsenal fans will always say, oh, we're looking down, you know, we're at the top. Then, two, Arsenal has history of crashing and capitulating around this period, and they don't put themselves out of the rut. So it's history. So don't say there's what's the word you call it? That like, what is crashing?
Let me tell you why it's an overreaction, right? Not only are we not, first of all, we're tied on the same points with Man City. Obviously, they have one game in hand. We're what, 2 points behind Aston Villa, 5 points behind Liverpool, which is less than two games, right? So that's why I feel like there's this over. Obviously, like I agree, it's a bad spell. It's a bad spell of games, which for sure, me, I'm like, yo, we need to get out of this rut ASAP. It's a bad spell of games, but there's that overreaction, like, wow, you know, you guys are like fourth now. It's over for you guys. That's where I see there's an overreaction. You know, because we're not that far off. You know, if we're like 10 points behind the hand, I understand. You know, again, it's the Premier League, man, or football. Like, things change very quickly. Like you said, before Christmas, you were saying what? Arsenal will win the league. And I remember you telling me, and I was like, let's wait until end of April. Then I'll talk, you know. But in two games, everything has changed. I see people online saying the same thing. I'm like, you are not saying the same thing like two games ago. Two games after you're switched. And it's the same thing that people do about Man City as well.
Do you know why people felt that way and people feel that same way now? Did anybody tell you their reason?
Yeah, because I just think it's an overreaction. Like, no, people are just overreacting.
It's not overreaction. Because at the beginning of this episode, remember I said Liverpool have been winning games, but they're not winning it. No, I would say they're not winning convincingly because the quality has shown their attack is so good. Mm-hmm. But they're always at the brink of like very close to lose, but we win the games.
Let me ask you this question. If Liverpool goes in a spell of like two to three games of losing and Man City like over three, do you think there will be an overreaction as well?
So
I think so. I think people will overreact and say, oh, shit, your defense is shit. You know, even if they are 1 point behind, you know, it's still a long season. Am I saying that, like, we'll bounce back, like, by the next game? No, I want us to bounce back by the next game. But I also believe that, like, there's still a lot of games to play.
People are just overreacting
in two games. In one game, after Man City, it was already, like, the world was crumbling. I'm sorry, after West Ham, it was like the world was crumbling.
So, but no, the thing is, I get that there's a lot to play for. But my point is, part of the reason why some of us feel some type of way for Arsenal is because you cannot pinpoint what the problem is with Arsenal.
It's very obvious.
Let me see myself now. The reason why I feel you cannot pinpoint. This is the exact same thing I said last season. If you remember, mm-hmm. at one point, I think it was towards the end, that I mm-hmm. said Arsenal has peaked. Because those guys are tired. The way they're playing the same way, and the result is almost the same thing. Like, you can still, like, we watched the West Ham game together. At mm-hmm. the 78th minute, things I've not seen Arsenal do in a very long time. Heads dropped. They felt like, this is done. We cannot pull ourselves out of this game. That was before. That was even before they scored the second goal. So,
but games that West Ham game, I don't even think that's a perfect example, because like games like that can happen, right? Games that like you are clearly supposed to win, like you have chances to like actually score, but you don't score. You know, it happens, man. It has happened to every single team this season.
So you're saying that there's no cause for alarm for Arsenal. You guys are going to come back.
That's not what I said. I think there's a cause for even before the West Ham game. I already thought there was a cause for alarm for Arsenal even before that game. The reason being that, like, I think like we are very predictable. Like, we play a very predictable type of football, right? Saka and Martinelli on the wings, they stay so wide. Teams, they just double team them, and just it's exactly the same way every game. West Ham Fulham, they put two defenders, their fullbacks and their winger, or like one midfielder run to the wing and try to mark them out on each wing. And for me, the part that I think that like we're really bad at is that we move the ball too slow. Like, we are very, very slow. Like, I watch Liverpool games against Newcastle. Once Liverpool gets the ball, they are aiming to get to the goal as fast as possible, man. Like, and I think that's Arsenal's biggest problem. We are trying to be too much in control of the game, you know, and the pace is so slow. Instead of making that risky pass, we go back again and start all over again, start the cycle all over again. Meanwhile, a team like Liverpool is like, boom, fast, man. We're getting straight to the post, man. You know, I don't care about anything in the middle or whatever. Our aim is just to get to the post and try to score as fast as possible.
But that was how you guys played last season.
No. So, last season, we were much faster. This is much slower.
Not as fast as Liverpool.
No. Trust me. Like, last season, we were a lot more faster.
But not as fast as Liverpool.
What do you mean, not as fast as Liverpool? Like,
as quick as fast Liverpool's transition?
Yeah, like, our transition was very fast last season, but maybe not as fast as Liverpool. I don't know. I think that's a different topic. I think the main point is that, like, our attack or the way we moved the ball was much faster last season than this season.
No, I know. I agree with that. But I'm saying, like, you cannot say you were as fast as Liverpool.
I think that's a different... they could be faster or slower, but I think we're just focusing on what we did last season and this season. Like, we're much slower this season. We're playing at a very slow pace this season.
But didn't Jacko say, give us football lessons on how it goes in and how...
At the end of the day, there were a lot of things that were supposed to be put in place for this season to get better for Arsenal. You know, take, for example, like Timba being in the team, Thomas Partey being in the team.
Oh, my God. You
know, I know people want to, what's the word? Say that that's an excuse. Yeah, it's an excuse. And that's why Zinchenko is back in the team. But like you saw from the stats, from Community Shield, from preseason, Timba was already... the one taking over that position from Zinchenko. Like, you saw it in Community Shield. You saw it in the first game of the season. Zinchenko was on the bench, you know. But obviously, injuries happen. Shit happens. You have to, like...
Wait, Timba is a left back?
No, he's a right back. But they put him at the left back because there was a system that this guy wanted to implement. But he can't
play left back?
Yeah, he was playing left back now. He played left back against Manchester
City. Olu, huh? Quick question.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Zinchenko mm-hmm. just came back from injury prior to that,
Community Shield.
Mm-hmm. But the person that was affected from your backline was Gabriel initially.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Timba playing was going to affect Zinchenko.
Zinchenko was not going to start if Timba was there.
So Timba will play left back.
Yes, now
I think Timba's position was meant to free up Zinchenko to just experts.
So in Arsenal, what Timber played for the most part in preseason and leading up to the first game of the season when he got injured was at left back. He played most of his time at left back, you know. But to be honest, that's not injuries happen to every team. You have to adapt. Right. You have to adapt, man. But I'm just trying to explain to you like why some of the things that some of the ideas that Arteta had, you know, obviously. For me, not buying a tall enough striker was also bad as well. You know, you can't have a Jesus and a Nketiah, you know, and if you're trying to win game, different types of games. So like against West Ham or Fulham or most of the teams that we play against that just sit back, you know, and try to break, you know, almost every team we play against play exactly the same way. They just sit back and try to break, you know. You can't have a Jesus and Nketiah as your main striker or your main strikers or your two options. You need like someone that can freaking head the ball, you know, in my opinion. That's
you just need a proper striker.
Yes.
Head the ball, like those guys are not
this life.
Strikers are winning.
Yes,
you need someone that can. Also, I was going to ask you, so are you saying you don't like Zinchenko in your team?
No, I'm not saying I don't like him. Like to me, he's to me, right? If I was to put him in a position, would have been that left number 8 that Kai Havertz is playing. To me, that's his position in the team, you know. But I definitely think, like, if Timber was there, he would not be playing games, man. Like, he wouldn't have been playing any games.
This life is just a very amazing
that's
life.
That's what we were seeing at the beginning of the season, though.
This life is just an amazing life.
Arsenal fan that watched, like, preseason and Community Shield and what they call it? The first, he was the left back, man. He was, and that's why
I'm not arguing against that. Like, man, Arsenal fans, you guys are amazing.
Let me ask you a question. You said we are amazing. What is amazing?
You guys are amazing because when you guys got Zinchenko and Jesus. You guys did not allow us here, but these guys did not push us.
I think you are getting it wrong. I'm not saying I don't want these guys. I'm not saying I don't want these guys. I'm just saying we need to use them in different ways. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, oh, they are shitty players, never use them again. No, I think Zinchenko is a really good player, man. But he's just not being used to his maximum strength right now.
What's the maximum strength?
I just explained to you, to me, his ideal position is to be in that midfield, man.
You know, Zinchenko and Trent, they're not far off.
Yeah, I know.
I personally don't think... But Trent is better than
Trent. Trent is just
better. I personally don't even think Trent should be a right back, man. I think he should be a midfielder, in my opinion.
Don't let us go into that conversation. Anyways, back to what I was saying. Jesus, I remember telling... I don't know if it was you or your brother or someone. I said, Jesus cannot carry anything to win the title. And people are like, no.
I don't think our problem is Jesus because I still think he's a good player, man.
We just need a different type of striker.
We need a different... Like, when you're too predictable, you need something different to, like, make people shake. Like, oh, shit, you don't know what to expect.
Jesus is not your answer to carry you to win titles. Let's just agree on that. It's two seasons now.
Nobody's arguing that now. But I don't think that's the problem. Like, I think people are focusing on the wrong things. Like, I still think these two guys are first of all, they were level raisers for Arsenal. They made Arsenal better, you know. So, like, we definitely need those two guys. I'm not saying we don't need them. We need them. But we need more. That's what I'm saying. We need an additional, you know, proper striker, tall guy that can hit the ball and do much more. Huh?
If I give you the proper striker right now, say take. What's going to happen to Jesus?
What will happen to him? He'll still play. I still think like he's very, very good, man. I think Jesus is highly, you know, he can either bench Martinelli or bench Saka, or when the striker is not in form, you bring him in, man. There are options. Jesus has limitless options, man, as an attacker.
So Jesus will just be an addition.
No. That's why it's a team effort. Now that Martinelli is not playing good, right? If we had a proper striker, you'll have put Jesus on the left, a striker, Saka, or you can swap it. You can swap things around.
Olufemi Adeniyike, I put it to you that your manager would never put Jesus on that right or left hand side. Because
I'm understanding. He has Saka, played that position this season now against Man City. Where did he play? He was the right winger. Saka didn't play that game now.
Saka was injured now.
Yeah, he didn't play that game. So that's Saka what I'm asking
injured.
You.
Said, Saka was injured.
Yeah, but you said our he manager would not. Okay, against Tottenham, he played left wing.
Let me finish my thoughts, please. Saka is fit. If Martinelli is fit, if Trossard is fit, those three players, they are the ones manning those wings.
But that's not what happened this season. Against Tottenham, he played as a left winger.
Oga Jesus will not be put in those places.
Wait, but I'm telling you, it happened this season. So I don't understand why.
So you agree with me that Jesus will just be like an addition? Because
no, I'm not saying he will be an addition. He's going to be a crucial member of the team. You can be a starter, you know, times like this that Martinelli is having a bad deep in form is when like, yo, all right, we need someone that can keep the level consistent now. Instead of overplaying the player, even Saka is going to have a spell of like just not doing anything like he had towards the end of last season. That's why you need options like Liverpool now. Liverpool have options. The time Diaz is not performing, Jota will enter. The level doesn't drop. The only person that stays constant is who? Salah. And why? Because his productivity is constant, man. Every other player is swappable. And that's how it should be.
I have a question. Uh-huh. So if Jesus is a crucial player, he will stay on the team, who would actually go? Who are you suggesting will go to the bench?
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you back the question. What is Nunes? In Liverpool.
I don't want to ask you a question now.
Eh?
I'm the one to ask you a question.
No. I want to see your answer, then I'll answer your question. What is Nunes in Liverpool?
Nunes is a striker.
No, is he like a starter, a crucial player, or what?
He's a starter.
Okay, but aren't there games that they benched him?
Yeah, but that's if he's played consecutive games.
Okay, what about Diaz? What about these other guys that they swap them around? Your manager literally like just like sometimes Diaz will start, sometimes he won't start, sometimes Gakpo will start, sometimes Nunes won't start, you know. And that's what I see. Like, you cannot play every single game. That's what I'm saying. Obviously, like the starters will be Saka, the striker, and Martinelli, because that's their correct positions. But as the season goes by, there's gonna be swapping around.
He'll become like a Gakpo then.
Yes.
No. He can still be starting a lot of games. There are too many games in the season, though.
Like a Gakpo, since using
No. See, my point is that there are a lot of games in a season.
You are just talking around.
There are 60 games. Do you expect those players to start all 60 games in a season?
We're not saying that. You have your starting 11. You have a constant 11, 4-3. That would always start.
Okay, what is Man City starting 11 right now? Is Grealish a starter or is he Doku?
It's Doku.
It's Grealish.
No.
It's Grealish. That's what I'm saying.
When Doku was fit, Doku was better Grealish.
But to be fair, why I don't agree with that point, Olu, is because Pep has always been known to be rotated. Like, Pep is known. Pep Roulette is a thing.
So you
can't use Pep.
That's the point, though. Like, if you're going to get someone different, that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. It has to happen.
That's the problem that I'm having with you guys.
Why?
You're not having your own identity.
What do you mean, Pep? No. Like, we can't see the main thing is that we cannot.
Every way, shape, or form, you're trying to.
But let me say something. Like, you can't play the same players the whole season. It's not possible.
That's not what we're saying, though. Like, at the end of the day, right? City, Haaland, KDB, they will not play every game. But we know that they are the starters of that team.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that guy. That's what we're saying.
But he's going to play a lot of games. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are too many games in a season.
That wasn't the question I asked you.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Diaz a starter in Liverpool?
Yes, no.
So it's Diaz, Nunes, and Salah.
I'll use Liverpool as an example since you're bringing Liverpool, right? The front three starters are Salah, Nunes, Diaz. Gakpo and Jota are the constant rotation.
But there was a point that, like, Gakpo was starting almost all your games, man.
Last season.
Yeah, that's literally what I'm saying. You have to rotate, man, because some players will drop in form. You have to bring in players to keep that level constant.
This is it. This is where I guess the question is different for you, right? Gakpo came in last season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, was promised number of games. Nunes was off, right? But what now? The difference is this: Jesus is your starting striker,
mm-hmm.
right? Someone coming in and Jesus is now you're saying he's getting a lot of games. He's been dropped. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So he'll be dropped, but my main point is that he'll still play a lot of games, man.
That's the question I'm asking you. Like, is he gonna be good? Is he gonna go to the bench?
It's like he gets a lot of games, but he's exactly. not a starter.
So let me put it like this, right? There are times that, like, at least at the beginning of the season, what happened to Gabriel in Arsenal? He wasn't playing.
That was
like five games.
That was just three games. Huh? It was three games.
Or whatever. Like, first until, I think his first full game was against Man U. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I see is going to happen, like, across the board, man. You know, if you have players that are literally the same level, like, you don't have to say, oh, this guy is a starter or whatever. Like, Omo, whoever is on form right now will start, man. There's no starter, in my opinion. Anyways, that's how I see it.
Don't let us spend this whole episode on discussing if Gabriel will be or Jesus will be a starter or not. Let's move on. So, my last question for both of you. Arsenal, Liverpool. Who finish above the other?
I mean, right now it's looking like Liverpool, but I'll let you know my answer at the end of January.
Why do you have to answer at the end of January? Why can't you answer now?
There's no confidence now. You know, see.
I'll ask the question. I said right now, it's looking like Liverpool.
My answer is this. I'm going to go with my team regardless. So
okay.
I also have a bet on that with an Arsenal fan. So,
Liverpool is finishing ahead.
Yeah. So it's like, I found consistent with that, even with this thing now.
So prediction. if City doesn't win the league, right, and we assume that the two teams that have potential to win the league, so are you guys telling me that Liverpool will win the league?
There's a high chance for that happening.
There's a high chance. I think it's between. As I said, if City doesn't win, it would then be between Liverpool and Arsenal.
Okay. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very hot Arsenal episode. Even though we try not to make it Arsenal episode, we always try, but they always come to conversation. They like to make everything about themselves.
Wait, but let's talk about Man U now. We just avoided Man U conversation.
There's no time.
It's never gonna happen.
So let's move on to the main.
Yo, Shell.
Let's move on to the main topic of the
just like
of the episode. the main topic of the episode. As we did last season, we want to go into the mid-season awards and we want to give props to the players, the teams, and the managers that have caught our eyes, have done really well so far, so good to this point. We've played 19/20 games, which is roughly the mid-season. And yes, so we have player of the season, manager of the season, or mid-season so far, or season so far, flop of the season, disappointment of the season. There's a difference between those two. Moment of the season, prediction of any sort of prediction that you guys wish to give. So let's start. Before I say this, before we go into that, this is probably the first season that I've not really seen a lot of standout players or standout teams. And it's very difficult. I've been scratching my head to like fill in the gaps and I've not been able to do that. So I'm going to rely on you guys' expertise to help me out on these awards. So with that said, who goes first? Player of the mid-season or player of the season so far? I mean, you can give... Three players nominations or three players, then tell us your winner.
Me, I think it's between like Salah, Rice, and who's the third player? maybe Solanke.
Okay.
So to me, those are three, but like Salah to me is the obvious, especially because of these past three games. You know, he has like this. I think these past three games, like Liverpool, have actually like stepped up much more than they were like prior to those past three games. Like maybe from game 1 to 17, they were not as consistent, but like the last three, I think they like really play really well. So I'll give it to them. So that's why I'll give what's his name, Salah.
So you're doing the NBA thing where the team that wins the most games is
no, 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 not just that. Like not just that. He has the like he has contributed the most in goals and assists this season as well. 22.
Okay,
you know,
Mr. Liverpool.
She's saying Mr. Liverpool. So mine is Rice, Salah, and for the third person, I was torn between Solanke and Son, and. Yeah, initially I was thinking Kudus, but not long enough. But I'll say Salah, Rice, Son, and Solanke. But obviously Salah is number one. I think his numbers speak for itself.
Yeah,
he's a standout candidate, and my number two would definitely be Rice. I think Rice has added more still to Arsenal, even though they're not
5-1
expectations.
5-1. Do you know what I mean by 5-1?
No.
West Ham.
Oh.
West Ham versus Arsenal. 5-1. And Rice. So for me, I think I'll do more than 3. Because I don't want to be biased. And if I do 3, you guys will scream. So I'll do more than 3. I'll do 5. So I'll do 5. Yeah, there's a reason. You understand why.
Okay.
So I'll do Salah. Mm-hmm. I'll do Paqueta. I'll do Palinho. I'll do Rodri.
Palinho?
Yeah. Is it Palinho or Palina? Whatever his
name. Palinho.
Palinho. No. I'll do Rodri. I'll do Son. I'll do... So, I said Salah, Paqueta, Palina, Rodri, Son. What should I do again? Let me think.
Don't force it, though.
I'm not forcing it. Yeah, so the players are caught that I feel like have been good so far this season.
So you think Palina has had a better season than Rice?
It's my opinion.
No. I know it's your opinion, but I'm just asking. It's a question. It's
my opinion. I've never finished.
No. Oh, I thought you've named your five, but I'm just asking a question.
I've never finished. Why are you like? This is my problem with you, boo. Arsenal fans.
It's like, a question. It's a question. Rushing? My question is, do you think he has performed better than Rice? It's just a question.
Why are you rushing?
Okay, Femi, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't you ask if he had performed better than Rodri?
No, I was going to come there too. But I wanted to start with Palinha first.
Okay.
Oh, like, why not copy Paqueta?
Paqueta, like
no, because they play similar roles. Like Paqueta and the other guys that you called, they don't play similar roles. But I just wanted to speak specifically of the DMs.
Yeah, I hear you.
And why didn't you pick Rodri?
No, that's why I'll start with Palinha because I think Rodri has played better than him. Then I was going to come to Rodri.
Okay. Anyways, for you interrupting me, I'm not picking Rice.
Yeah, I don't want to pick Rice, but I'm just asking a question.
My answer is Salah. Because from the beginning of the season, Salah, I think I told Mr. Liverpool, Salah has been one player that he has impressed me, not because of his goals, his play, in the all-round play this season has been very, very good. Apart from his assist and scoring, he has been able to hold Liverpool. He's one that gives that factor. You can tell that it's him, like it's him when he plays. I would have wished Sterling continued. I'll have picked Sterling to be part of my five.
Wait, what?
But, Sterling.
Why? Yeah, and at the beginning of the season, I'm not saying now. I'm not saying now.
What part of the beginning of the season?
He was good for Chelsea. He was really good for Chelsea.
What part of this season was
at the beginning of the season? Now, at the beginning of the season, guys, I'm not saying now.
I don't recall.
As you called Sterling, I thought it was somebody else.
It's fine. It's fine if you don't see Sterling.
No, but no, no. I'm just saying, if you said Sterling, I thought of someone else.
Yeah, if we had continued on that path, it probably would have been my top five, but unfortunately, no. So that's my top five. But Sterling, Salah, Marina. So Paqueta and Palena, those guys are doing the job, and there's no noise around them. Palena, go and check Palena's stats. Like, speaks for itself. Like, he's one of those players that will be like, whoa. When you see him play and you look at your eye test and stats, be like, yeah, there's something in that. And I'll be surprised if he stays in Fulham next season. I will really be surprised. Paqueta too. I feel like Man City should have gotten Paqueta. I don't know why they stopped. I know there's something about like something, but I don't know.
Isn't there that like jumping stuff around?
Yes. But I feel like he could have picked him because he's one of those players that has that X factor. He would have been a very nice deputy for KDB. But, you know, I mean, when KDB comes, he'll now go back to the bench. So I guess everything works out for good. So let's go to the next.
Wait, now let me mention the person that I thought about.
Who?
VVD.
Huh?
Who?
Van Dijk.
Oh, Van Dijk.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's gotten back to his form.
Yes.
He's been living up to that. But yes. When he says Sterling, I was just like, oh, yeah. Van Dijk.
Yeah. I mean, Sterling has... Anyways, manager of the mid-season or season so far?
I think that one, I think it was easy for me. Unai Emery and Bournemouth's coach. Good for me.
Yeah, for me, it's Unai Emery.
Yeah.
Unai Emery. Let me think. So people are not picking Angie. Wow.
Angie.
No, I was going to say Ange, but like, I think the answer is clear. Unai Emery. Like,
Unai Emery is the clear option. I will go for Bournemouth's coach because of the progress he made.
Angie. Iraola.
Yeah.
Ange has made a lot of progress too. They are fifth. 6 points away from Liverpool, first.
Who, Angie?
That's a lot of progress, yeah.
No, like, I'm not disputing that fact. Unai Emery is the number one candidate.
Yeah. You guys can pick Bournemouth, three now. You can pick three.
Yeah, Bournemouth is like more of a, I didn't really see that coming kind of thing. Mm. Angie is obviously next in line. So it's those three. But okay. Unai Emery is my number one.
After you guys have disturbed my piece all season. Anyways, Unai Emery... run out winner, and I want to see how far you can go with Aston Villa this season.
So
the next one will be flop of the season. So flop in terms of player, not anything outside that player.
So yes, when you say player, like, do you mean like transfer that came in this season and has flopped?
No, I mean you can give your reason for calling the player. It can be anything. It can be expectations. It can be price tag, it can be anything.
My flop of the season right now is Man U.
No, I said player.
No. I know, but I changed it from player to like just anything.
You cannot. So wait. So the next award will be disappointment of the season, which can be anything, any entity.
Oh,
so yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I said player.
Oh, stop it.
None of the year.
Okay, so player. Like. Just to be clear.
Okay. My flop of the season.
Hold on,
guys.
Just to be clear, when you say flop, it's meaning like a signing that was a flop. That's how I understand it.
Yeah.
It can be a signing. Yeah. It can be a signing. Yeah.
So disappointment, I was thinking, was a player that had been in the league and you just...
Yeah. It can be the player. It can be the team. It can be anything for that disappointment. But the flop is the signing.
Gotcha.
So my flop of this season, I'll give it to Moises Caicedo. And the reason why I say Caicedo is because, like, obviously we all saw what he played in Brighton, right? And he came in, you know, with that reputation already. He came in for a hefty, I think his Premier League record, right? If I'm correct.
That's correct.
You know, and every time I watch him, I just don't understand. He just looks so average to me whenever I see Chelsea play. Like, I don't see the same player I saw last season. You know, so that's why I'll give him flop of the season so far. Maybe it can change after this January and moving forward. But this first half of the season, I think, is the flop of the season.
That's the only one you have?
Yeah, I think it's just Caicedo. I only give it to Caicedo.
Well,
there are much more. Yeah, but I think Caicedo to me is just the answer.
I wasn't going to even pick Caicedo because it would sound like I'm hating. But anyways, the people I have on my list are Tielemans, Mason Mount, and Hoyland.
What?
Is that flopped?
And that was number one.
Number one. I'll say Hoyland, number one.
Yeah, okay. For me, straight up Jackson. Because you cannot get this amount of chances and not
take but them. But he's got enough goals this season, though.
Also, he has more goals than all your forwards. But
okay. Yeah, he has 7 or 8 goals this season.
This is my problem with you people. It's my problem with you people. There's context to everything.
Yeah, listen,
there's context. Listen. There's no way you tell me you have a striker like that has all the amount of chances and doesn't take those chances because it's called hat-trick. He's the first person that scored hat-trick and had like 3 point something who score rating.
So
that's how bad it was.
So you just said something, context, right?
Yes.
You also didn't consider the amount they bought him for, his age, all that stuff.
It doesn't matter. Because if in the context, that's why I'm not picking Caicedo, because Caicedo, the whole team is playing rubbish. But Jackson is a standout for me because of the amount of chance. As much as Chelsea is playing rubbish, he's
so
still like...
Let me ask you a quick question. Is he much of a bigger flop than Onana?
Than Onana?
Yeah.
Onana is not a flop.
Okay.
Onana is not a flop.
Say your flops.
I've said Jackson is number one for me. That's okay. What I can...
Oh, that was the only person you had.
I mean, I'll probably just pick him.
Interesting.
And there's a reason why I picked him, because of how the team is. As bad as Chelsea is, you can clearly see that if they have a better striker or someone that can put the ball into the net, they will be in a better position than they are right now. Like, it's so glaring. Like, it's very clear to see. What? What's that? You have a question for me?
No.
Okay. Disappointment of the season. It can be a player, it can be a team, it can be a manager.
I'll go with this one.
Okay.
So, my following are Rashford, Anthony, Nunes, Chelsea, United.
Okay. Yeah. And who's number one? Who's the number one in that list?
Number one is a draw. It's Rashford and Anthony.
Okay.
For me, I just think the absolute answer is like United. And the reason that I'll give is like they've scored literally in the league. I think they have the least goals scored. I think.
No, they don't have the least goals. They don't.
You're like top two, least.
No, we're not the top two. No. Like top four.
Top three.
Top four. I swear Manu is like top two, man. But anyways.
No, we're not top two. We're top four.
Yeah, anyways. But to me, that's very bad. You know, and that's why the amount of losses so far, halfway through the season, I think that's too much, you know. And even the games that you've won, there are a lot of games that you didn't deserve to win, like a lot. In the 10 that you won, I can probably say half of them, you didn't deserve to win them, but you won them, which is fair. And that's why I give Manu as like the disappointment of the season, because I think they're just massively underperforming, man.
And just to add to that, just to add to that, in regards to Chelsea, why they are on my list is because of the amount of money they spent and how they're performing. I feel like I had high expectations for Chelsea as a team, especially with Pochettino, but they're clearly not living up to that expectation.
Well, you've answered my question. I'm picking Chelsea because of the exact same reason you just mentioned. Okay. Moment of the season. It can be a bad moment, it can be a good moment, it can be a surprising moment, but moment of season so far.
I went based on the games. So I went, moment of the season was Chelsea versus City, 4-4. I felt like that was a very surprising scoreline, especially at the time of the game, Chelsea was underperforming. City looked like the team to beat, and to go to Stamford Bridge and tie with Chelsea 4-4.
Chelsea, yeah.
It was quite. It was an incredible game. I think it was also great for the league because that kind of slowed down City as well. Because if not, these guys would be running away with it if they won games like that. So I think it was a great game, and I think it just exploited the fact that City's defense is not that great. And Chelsea on a good night will hurt anybody.
So you just have one moment?
Yeah, I just have that one moment.
Okay.
For me, the moment of the season was Tottenham Liverpool. Because it just showed how useless VAR is, or the refereeing situation in the Premier League is. You know, obviously the game played out in a very, very random way, man. Liverpool went down like two men, and they still held it out all the way until I think the last kick of the game.
Literally
the last kick. You know, so I think that was like a very big moment for the Premier League this season, to show everybody that like the what they call it, the refereeing is not good. It's not up to standard in the Premier League.
Well, so it's just one moment for you?
Yeah, to me that's the only one that sticks out for me.
So for me, moments of the season, I have a lot, but
I was gonna say one more, actually. Garnacho's goal. Garnacho's goal was pretty crazy, man.
Okay, so I
rank that high up there as well.
Yeah, I was about to pick that too. Garnacho's goal. Pick that. Another one is Liverpool's reaction after drawing against United. Because in their mind, they thought they were going to beat United. And they all crying. They all crying that, yes, they beat it. Because the way they reacted, you could tell that in their mind, like, when they were sleeping, like, overnight, like, I'm going to beat these people. Like, they had a very good night's sleep. They were not bothered. They didn't really change. Another one is, Arsenal fans laughing at United. Was it against West Ham? Or was it Nottingham? It was Nottingham that United fans are counting Saka's goals. Which is, I feel like I need to do a whole episode on Saka. But say United fans are counting Saka's goals that they were not training and they lost to Forest.
Everybody get compared. Every player in the world gets compared to Saka. I don't understand.
I know them now gifting me New Year gifts.
Every player in the world.
anyways, predictions of any sort for the second half of the season,
Mr. United. You see how you mentioned United like 5 times.
Which one?
We can't mention United.
Which one?
I'm just
saying. I don't understand.
No, I don't understand. Wait, though. You guys mentioned United for the of the season.
I'm just saying, the players, the bantering, flop of the season.
I don't say anything.
You mentioned them in the positive light. That's the only part.
I don't understand. You guys mentioned them in the bad light, the worst awards you guys gave them. I don't contend it. I kept quiet.
Anyways, all good. So you said predictions. My predictions are, I don't think Kompany will get fired this season. Another one is, I don't think it's even a prediction, it's just a fact. Newcastle United and United will not make top four.
Okay.
And another prediction is Arsenal will not win the league without a proper nine.
Yeah.
So they get a nine, they win the league.
If they get a proper nine, then their chances increases in a whole.
No. I don't want their chances. I want it to be
Without a proper nine, they're not going to win the league. I can tell you that for a fact.
Okay. Yeah. I prefer that answer. Yeah. So if they have a proper nine, they'll win the league.
Yeah. They can.
If they have a proper nine, they will win the league.
They can win the league.
Okay.
Those are my predictions.
So my prediction, and this is the first time I'm like seeing this, man, but I actually think Man City will win the league.
Oh!
You have been humbled.
The fear of KDB.
No. No, it's not even that. It's not even that. It's just that, like, we all know, like, they're the best team in the league. Like, I don't think anybody contests that. You know, we just hold on to believe that, like, our team will fight, at least for me, you know, we'll push all the way, we'll fight again, you know, but, man, at least if they don't get injuries, if there are no injuries, there are no massive injuries to their team, like, if they have, like, their full team coming back, I think, it will be long for the rest of the league.
You see that injury thing? Yeah. It's exactly why that bald man rotates his players. So that when one player is injured, when it makes that substitution or when it makes that switch, there's no down, like there's no change in how they play. That's why it keeps like rotating, switching.
Keeps them fresh.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have a question for you, Olu.
What?
So, did not know this at the beginning of the season?
No, I knew. I knew that they had
your chest that has not been.
See, I predicted mine would come second this season. You know.
Who comes second?
I predicted mine would come second
So you see now. You see now. Let's stay on topic.
I'm trying to explain to you like why, like sometimes you can be wrong.
Just stay on topic.
Stay on topic now. I knew they were the strongest team, but I also like predicted my team. You know, I didn't anticipate some of the teams that I'm seeing this season. Take for example, like how we are playing this season. Even from the beginning, it hasn't been fluent, man. You know. I didn't anticipate that. Like some of the injuries that happened, I didn't anticipate. Obviously, Thomas Partey was a no-brainer. But like some of the guys that we've lost, I didn't anticipate it, you know. So, and now like City is gone. They are literally coming back.
Do you remember what I said about Arsenal? Just try to remember about top four and Arsenal.
I don't know. Who make top four?
Yes. Remember I said it.
Okay. I think we made it. But remember, I said it, right? Yeah.
Okay.
If we're talking about what you said, you also said Newcastle will make top four.
You said Newcastle will make top four as well. You said Man U make top four too, right?
This particular conversation wasn't around the top four contenders. It was specifically Arsenal.
Yeah, but we're also telling you that like some other of your predictions are wrong. So
okay.
We win some, we lose some. That's what we are trying to explain. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't be 100% correct all the time.
Let's move forward.
Yeah.
So is that your prediction?
I think there's a high chance that Man City wins the league. However, there's a clause there. I don't think it will happen, man. I don't think we'll get a proper striker. It's going to be very hard. So with that being said, I don't think Arsenal win the league this year. It hurts to say it.
So, wait,
that's my one prediction. I never finish. I think Liverpool will be second, Arsenal will be third. Fourth will be Tottenham. I still hold on to that. I think Tottenham will be fourth this season.
Who will be third?
My content this season. I'm not even joking. Like 10th or lower. I think. I don't think they'll supersede like any of these teams ahead of them, like Newcastle. Aston Villa, I think Chelsea will come ahead of Man U, man. It's a bold statement to say.
I think it's actually not that bold with the point difference.
No, I think Chelsea is not that good, but I think they'll come ahead of Man U because, I don't know, I just don't think Man U. From what I'm seeing, man.
That's 2 points apart.
So yeah. I just don't see anything when I watch Man U, you know. So that's why I think that they might come 10th. Of course, they might come further closer, but he's looking like 10th this season, man.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are confidently saying that Liverpool will not win the league. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I think I said it. Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham.
Okay. Are you done with your predictions? Any other thing you want to add?
No, that's it.
Okay. My prediction this season, middle of the season, I really don't have any, honestly. I don't think I want to add to anything that I've said before in the past. I'm not doing top four or top six prediction. I'm not. I feel My problem with the winner or the league champion would be that Liverpool. I don't understand what Liverpool is doing. I don't understand what Liverpool is doing, but City might just come back and win the league because of other teams being scared that they're too good.
Wait, what do you mean you don't understand what they're doing?
Liverpool. I don't know what you guys are doing.
In regards to what?
Like, I need you guys to be more consistent, like, be strong the way you want to be. Like, no, you guys are playing as if you don't want to win the game and eventually win the game. Like, win convincingly. But I don't really want to talk about the winner too, because this is the first time this, like, I cannot say this is going to be the outright winner. So, but City is more likely to win. But wow, that's not a prediction. That's just like just rambling. But another prediction. Let me think. I don't have any prediction. I don't have any. Anyways, anything you guys want to add to your format previous takes?
Well, I just wanted to. I wanted Olu to repeat his top four again. You said City, Liverpool, Arsenal?
Arsenal, Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Then Aston Villa. I think Newcastle still bounce back. So Newcastle enter top six. You know, then Chelsea might be seventh. You know, but I just don't see Man U like superseding like Brighton. I don't see Man U superseding like those top eight teams that I just mentioned.
Okay. I wouldn't get into top four. I think I've already talked about my top four already, but okay.
What's your top four?
No, I think my top four would be similar to top three, to City, Liverpool, Arsenal. Then it would be between Tottenham and Aston Villa. Then I think United would be right below them.
Like fifth?
No, I think United will be like sixth or seventh.
So you're saying they will top Chelsea now?
Yeah, I think they would.
Okay.
I think they, like, now United, I really don't care, but as long as they don't make top four, that's the statement me I'll hold, is that they won't make top four. Like, no.
So, have you guys been seeing what Girona has been doing in La Liga? Have you guys been following
that? They've been doing amazing stuff. They won their game today.
Yeah, they won their game 4-3.
Last minute. Let's go.
Yeah. But those guys, I don't know, man. Like, they're showing some huge Leicester vibes. Like, they're playing really well. They're going at it, like, very, very well with all these top teams. Because with the Atletico game, I was tracking the game and I was like, they scored. Atletico scored. They scored 2-1, 3-1.
Yeah.
3-2, 3-3. And they scored the last minute.
Man. Last goal.
I was just like, wow. They're showing mad resilience, man. Like, it's not luck. They've been working on
it. They only lost one game and it was against Madrid.
Yeah. And that was earlier in the season. So, let's see what happens.
Anyways, thank you guys for coming up. Hopefully, your team would not do better in the second half of the season. I'm rooting for your post downfall.
Same as us. We're rooting for your downfall too.
And looking for your downfall. So
we're rooting for a further downfall.
Yeah, for that downfall, because they have the experience to be downfall.
It's not your post fault. We would come back next episode. We don't have predictions because there are no EPL run of games, EPL games in the next game week. They are AFL games. So, thank you guys. And thank you for everyone for joining this special episode. Obina will be back in the next episode, hopefully, by God's grace, from his vacation. And yeah, continue supporting United, continue praying for us, even though I'm surrounded by enemies. The Bible says, look around you, you're surrounded by enemies. Yes, I'm surrounded by enemies.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us as well.
Great, as always.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone, and goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Later.